So today we have Dustin Schaff on with us, and I think it's our perfect first episode because Dustin is our head cattle buyer here at Greater Omaha, and he is going to actually give us a quick, 2, 3 minute market overview each month before we bring a new guest on or do anything else. So I want to introduce him first. So each month when you listen to us, you know who he is, his background. So, Dustin, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Sarah. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for taking time. I know your schedule is like crazy busy. So, would you tell the listeners first just a little bit about yourself, a background, and then how you got ended up at Greater Omaha?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm Dustin Schaff. I started off a long time ago with Cargill straight out of college. After graduating UNL, I was down in Dodge City and then started my first Sherry McCook and started having a family, and everything brings me back to Southwest Iowa where I'm from. 6, 7 years ago now, had the opportunity to come back to Greater Omaha and be a buyer. So I've been a buyer in the Southwest Iowa, Northeast Kansas, Missouri, and a little sliver of Nebraska for the past 6 years. And within the last year, I became the head buyer of Greater Omaha. So that's a quick story about myself.
Awesome. Would you mind just diving into, giving the listeners a little bit of an overview of the plant, how we size, how we function, just to some background?
Yeah, so our plant, we're a small but large plant for the area. We process 2,400 head a day, 5 to 6 days a week. We employ about 1,500 people, so we're a pretty large employer for the Omaha metro area. And most of our cattle come within a 100-mile radius of the plant. You get another 100 miles from that, so a 200-mile radius, we start getting a few cattle. We stem from Illinois to Wyoming, Western Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. That's our trade territory. We try to buy the best 2,400 head we can. Our customers here at Greater Omaha really, really pride us on workmanship and quality of beef that they get out of our facilities.
For sure. What's your team take, your buying team, to get that area covered? Like, tell me about that, those guys.
Yeah, we've got 5 buyers. So out west, Western Nebraska, covering that is a buyer by the name of Mike Daly. He started with us about a year ago and was doing a heck of a job. And then in eastern Nebraska, we got Matt Krogan. He's been with us for probably a little over 6 months. Then you get northwest Iowa. You've got David Grant, and he covers a little bit of that South Dakota, North Dakota, parts of Minnesota. Then you get on further east, clear to Illinois, you got Kenny Benson. He covers the northern half of Iowa over to Illinois, and then myself, the southern half of Iowa, Missouri, and eastern Kansas. So that's made up of just a few of us. We put a lot of miles on, look at a lot of great cattle across this feeding country.
Yeah. So what are you like your direction for those guys to fill the plant with quality cattle? Like, what is that animal? Like, what are you telling them? Say, go out and buy this.
Well, it's no secret that at Greater Omaha here, we do like steers. So we've been a steer buying company for the last few years, and it's a big black steer, right? He's going to have a lot of prime figures in him. He's going to be able to hit CAB. And so you get into that Iowa side, them Iowa cattle feeders, they get big black steers. Now we get into Nebraska, we're gonna hit another portion of our business, and that would be our Hereford program. The state of Nebraska feeds a lot of Herefords. And so those buyers out in Nebraska have a little different motive than the buyers over on the eastern side of the state, just a little different quality of cattle. So we kind of hit our both facets between Iowa and Nebraska and the Dakotas, of everything we want here at Greater Omaha. So I can go into the Hereford program now if we
Yeah.
want to.
No,
Maybe
that'd
this
be
is a
great.
segue.
For sure.
So here at Greater Omaha, our honest pick of cattle would be a F1 Black Baldy. because he can fit whatever we need. So if he can grade prime, he's going to fit in a prime box. If he can grade CAB, he's going to fit in the CAB box. If he grades upper select and above, he can fit in a Hereford box. So it all depends on what our customer is wanting. The reason that animal is so valuable to us is he's so diverse. He can go into any one of our boxes depending where we have the demand in beef. So that is the typical animal we like to try to buy is that black baldy Hereford.
Makes sense. Yeah. Diverse options.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've been on this for, 5 minutes now, and we haven't talked about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the market, and I can only assume that consumes your brain constantly, and kind of what your struggles with it and outlook as well.
Yeah, this market, I'm no different than everybody else. It does consume me daily. I have constant talk with feeders, buyers, people in the plant about where this thing is going and what's going on. All I can tell you now is we're in unmarked territory. I mean, last week we traded at 320, and the market went from 320. I think there's a little bit of 330, 203 to 205. So on the live side. So this market is very hot, and we're in a territory no one really knows which way it's going to go. If I was to put myself on the limb and say it's going up, then I'm going to be wrong. But if I say this thing's going to crash, I'm going to be wrong as well. So I really think, though, my honest opinion on this market is we do have somewhat of a strong market. Our tighter cattle supplies, it's keeping us there. Box beef is what's really drove this market. We've had two snowstorms in a row and caught some of these retailers short. So boxes have surged up to over 330, and that's pushed our cattle to these levels. Now, if we start curbing our demand, now if people quit buying, start slowing down on buying beef, then we'll start slowing down this fat cattle price. But at the moment, even if they start slowing down, our prices aren't going to fall out of bed and drop. So short-term outlook is we're probably pretty safe to say that we're going to be trading in a $5 range, pretty steady. Long-term outlook, that's the big elephant in the room. What's going to make this market move one way or another?
Yeah, and how are you feeling about inventory outlooks?
Well, yeah, so that's why we are where we're at. Cattle inventories are low. We've liquidated a cow herd over the past 4 years because of the droughts, and now we're going to start a heifer rebuild, so we're going to see a little more retention. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of retention here. I saw yesterday that there's some Hereford heifers that brought more than the steers out west. So that's telling me those are getting replaced. You're not going to pay for them to put them in a feed yard.
Right.
So we're starting to see heifer retention. So the tight supply is going to keep our market pretty firm. Unless there's some sort of black swan, but no one can guess it, so let's not even talk about them.
Yeah, well, you didn't predict COVID.
No one did.
Oh man, what a mess. So the next thing I had was, you know, Greater. I don't think people understand how much of the cash trade Greater Omaha is in Nebraska, and Iowa. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's reports out there. We just get it off USDA, see what the total cash trade in Nebraska. And for instance, I think a couple weeks ago there was 25,000 head trade, and we were 8,000 head of it. So a lot of we do participate in the cash market very heavily. I would say 80 to 90% of our cattle are bought on a weekly basis over the cash trade between Iowa and Nebraska. And the reason we do that is we support our local farmers. If it wasn't for us, I don't think a lot of these smaller farmer feeders would have an opportunity to sell cattle anywhere. So we pride ourselves being in the cash market and being 40 to 50% of that cash trade in the state of Nebraska and Iowa.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it easy every week. We have to participate in these high prices, but we're there for our producer and the small cattle feeder.
Yeah, and everybody else's formula functions off of that. You know, it's the cash trade is essential to cattle trade.
Right, Right, and it seems like anymore it's Nebraska and Iowa that have the bulk of the five area cash trade anyways. Not a lot of cattle trade in the South anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about, you know, I mean, you mentioned that there's some downsides to that. There's some upsides too, but how do you manage that with sales, you know, of knowing what the prices are on cattle coming in and having them aware? You know, that's just a constant communication, I can only imagine.
Yeah, well, Wes will be on one of these podcasts here shortly, but Wes is our head of our sales here for Greater O, and we talk on a weekly/daily basis about what the cattle market's doing. Because if I'm taking this cattle market up to 320, he's definitely got to get 335 to 340 out of his boxes to even make sense. So we have to be in close contact when the markets move, as fast as they move. And same thing if the boxes start getting slammed, I need to know that and what to expect on our cash side of it. So our customer at the end of the day really dictates this market. It's all about supply and demand. And right now we have great demand for our beef and in a short supply.
Yeah, that's huge. And we don't, I mean, how is sales feeling about demand if the price goes up? Are we comfortable? I mean, have to be.
We're very, very, very nervous. We're once again, because we're in okay, you're going to cut this. We're in territories that we've never seen before on the cash cattle side. We're in territories we haven't seen on box beef side too. So we're asking a lot from our customers that buy our product. The good thing, I'd say, a pat on everybody's back that's out here listening that raises cattle. We've done a great job promoting our product. There's so much you can do with beef, so diverse. Anymore, it's not just the ribeye that makes our beef high. Heck, we got small cuts, the culottes, the little cuts we're getting out of the roast, the tenders, the Kraft hamburger's picking up and it's going wild right now, and that's what's supporting the cutout. But everybody has a different Kraft hamburger, a different grind, and a different spec. So we've done a lot with beef over the past few years that has really made it a dominant protein in the industry.
Yeah, we should talk about the lean market a little bit, because just cow inventory, dairy cow inventory, you know.
Yeah.
It's looking a little sparse, right?
It's looking very sparse. This, our cow inventory, we've harvested a lot of cows in the last few years, and we're probably not going to do that this year. If we're retaining heifers, we're going to keep them cows back. And not just beef cows, but like you brought up, is the dairy herd. So we liquidated the dairy herd as well, and this beef on dairy has got them pretty short in their herds. So to get their replacement heifers, they're going to have to start breeding some of these cows back to dairy to get a purebred Holstein cross back. So that the inventory on the dairy side is very short. The inventory on our beef side is very short. And beef on dairy has a lot to do with that on the dairy side. So we're going to see a lot less cows coming to market. So our lean, the lean market is going to be insane. Last year we ended up importing a ton of lean beef from Australia. I don't see that slowing down. I mean, it all depends on how our trade goes worldwide here. Going forward in 2025. But we're going to need lean beef, and it's going to come from somewhere.
How do you, speaking about trade, you know, Greater Omaha has a pretty good export business, but what do you think this administration is going to do for the trade market in the sense of tariffs, value of the dollar? I guess what's your opinion on all of that?
I mean, we can talk all we want if we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but it's all about seeing. Yeah, we could talk about tariffs and you talk about retaliatory tariffs. Yeah, if we end up putting tariffs on Europe or Mexico or Canada, it's gonna have a negative impact on our beef business. However, are we gonna get that done, or are we just or is the administration using these as trade tactics as well as they should? So we need talk like that, because we need to become a powerhouse again as the United States. So yeah, they're scary talks, but until they actually happen, I can't trade. I can't make my trade off of that, right?
Correct.
I got to live into today.
Yep. Great. One last question. You know, with AI is so big and technology advancements, how do you foresee that changing the way cattle are traded is my first question. I'll let you answer that, and then I'll have another one.
Well, for one, I think we're seeing cattle somewhat trade with AI in the background. I mean, these markets right now, you get the fund monies, the funds are record long. There's AI in the background telling them when to buy and sell. So we're starting to see some of that in our live market, our COB, or sorry, Chicago Board of Trade. So we're seeing AI there now. AI positively in our plant. Yeah, we're gonna be able to pick up some efficiencies. Data collection for Greater Omaha to help give back to our producers. That's all going to be run by some sort of AI. So we're going to be able to really nail down on these cattle of the grade and be able to give good data back to our producers in the next 3 to 5 years. So there's a lot of positive stuff to come. But with positive, there's going to be negatives. So it's the next 5 years is going to be very interesting.
My opinion on it is that cattle are going to bring what they're worth. In the sense of good cattle will bring more money because we'll have so much more information and be able to access it, right?
You give 5 years down the road, every producer, every cow-calf man is going to know how his cattle perform. So we're not only going to give them that, they're going to take that information and they're going to make their cattle do better. So I can only see cattle in the next 5-10 years get even better than they are today. We have record choice grading cattle. We have record prime grading cattle. We have record CAB grading cattle. And that's only going to grow. We're only going to get better genetics. And when we liquidated the herd, you don't liquidate your best cows, right?
Mm-hmm.
You liquidate the bottom. When you replace a herd, you don't replace them with bad cows. You replace them with the best ones around.
Yeah.
So I can only see the next 5-6 years, we're going to be even as an industry better than we are today. Higher quality. And our customer keeps telling us that's what he wants. High
Absolutely.
Quality.
Yeah. And those are the boxes we don't have trouble selling to the plant.
Yeah, right. Prime will always sell. Prime will always sell. CAB will sell. Hereford will sell. Select gets tough. Choice gets tough. Especially when you're gonna be paying $19 a pound for a ribeye. Are you gonna go to a restaurant and pay $100 for it, or you're going to go pay $19 a pound and have a good meal with your family? I think we're going to see a lot more people cooking at home.
Yeah.
And to do that, it starts with good products. So that's why that the prime and the CAB and the high quality beef's taking charge.
Absolutely. Can't live without it. Well, Dustin, no, this is great. I so appreciate your time and hopping on. I'm sure I will be begging you to come back on later as we get through this podcast, but do you have any other last thoughts for our listeners?
Last thoughts for our listeners. Yeah. If you're feeding cattle, just keep an eye on the risk we have out there. There's always products or something. If it's LRP, if it's a put, working with a broker, contracting cattle, when we're up to levels this high, just look at how do I get some risk off on my operation? Because we are at very risky levels, very good levels. But just keep that in mind. When you're buying a pen of cattle, where can I lay them off? How can I lay them off? And if that's with us, that's with us. Great. But if not, I would say look at doing a portion of your business would be something to look forward to in 2025.
Absolutely. We need every feeder out there to feed us cattle, right?
Right.
Great. Okay. Well, Dustin, again, thank you. Appreciate your input. We will get wrapped up and we'll get you on here again soon.
All righty. Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day. All right. Bye-bye.
You too.